Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, with the Lord's help, we are going to conclude a message I've been sharing these last few days on overcoming boredom. And as I've shared what that means, that sounds like a strong word, but I think while we might not want to admit to boredom, there are times we have been wearied, we've been feeling that our life is tedious, circumstances are tiresome because of the length of endurance or dullness, and basically we just like to escape. Well, that's because we are in this world, our time with Jesus, when we are with Him, that will not exist. But at the present, life can be very tiresome. I mean, the enemy uses the subtle trap of the enemy to get us spiraling down a road. He does it very lightly, very slowly, but if we don't check ourselves, we will end up murmuring and complaining and being bitter and even angry. And so we have to be careful that we notice in ourselves this reaction of just being kind of fed up with stuff, you know. I was sharing some scriptural examples from the Bible of the weariness of life, and we're all capable of it, to experience these very common kind of response or reaction. This is Moses in Numbers 11:15. He said, he's talking to the Lord, "If thou deal thus with me, kill me." That's pretty strong. "I pray thee out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight." This is what I want you to do. I can't take this. "And let me not see my wretchedness." All right, and 1 Kings 19:4, we have the great prophet Elijah. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." So if these great men of God could experience something like that, then we have to be aware that we are also, because of our common emotional nature, open to it. Job said in 10:1, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." And Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 24:17, and he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have to another as ye walk and are sad?" Beloved, we know instinctively when we get in a place like that, that we shouldn't stay there. We shouldn't be there. And it happens very slowly. He works slowly, the enemy does. But basically, there's not a sense of joy in living. There's no anticipation, no expectation. We're just dull, basically, and we kind of lose hope there's going to be any change. Well, that is definitely of the enemy. We are not to get weary in well-doing. That's what the scripture tells us. So I'd like to share with you some spiritual remedies to this state of weariness and tedium and boredom. First of all, we have to be aware of the problem. And if you listen, perhaps you've may come to the conclusion that perhaps that is something the enemy has used against you. What do we do? Secondly, we commit it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus said, "We ask largely that our joy may be full." In fact, might not be a bad idea to just stop right here and ask the Lord to take away these feelings that will lead to murmuring and complaining. Father, you know the human heart so well. Jesus was just like us. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Remember once, Lord, you said, how long must I suffer you? So you can relate to the feelings and the emotions that we go through. But Father, we know we don't want to be in that state because because we know it's a very vulnerable, volatile state that the enemy can use to really get us sidetracked. If we don't catch it, Lord, we can really get derailed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind that weariness of soul and spirit, that sense of discouragement and despair, despairing that things aren't ever going to change. This sense that there's no real excitement or anticipation for the future. Father, those are lies from the enemy. And Satan, we take authority over you in Jesus' name, and we command you to loose your hold upon the saints of God. And Father, we loose your ministry, we loose in your own gentle, specific way to every heart the things that would cause us to walk in the joy of the Lord, walk with a sense of anticipation with what you are going to do, walk with a delight in serving you, even in the most simple ways, that we would find joy in simple things. And in our daily fellowship with you, Lord, there would be no room for weariness or tiredness, because with you, in your presence is fullness of joy. So this, Lord, the real request is, let us be aware of your presence so we won't fall into this trap of the enemy. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's go on. Well, we've prayed. We've been aware, we've prayed. And then there are admonitions in Scripture, first of all, that we have to be content in our circumstances. Why? Because this is the realm in which we're living. First of all, have you really surrendered your life to God? Are you pouting and fussing and having a fit because you maybe haven't surrendered your life to God and you want to do something else and things aren't working the way you wanted them to? That's something you might want to think about. But we need to be content in our circumstances. We need to look for good in our lives, regardless what it's like. And we need to have an attitude change. What does Scripture say? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:20 says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. In other words, if you want to read extensively in that particular chapter, once if you get saved, don't seek to immediately change your circumstances. You learn about the Lord, and he is able to change them. Philippians 4:11 says, this is the great apostle Paul, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And 1 Timothy 6:8 says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Okay, so I could give more scriptures, but I think that's sufficient to recall to your mind what the word says. And then we're to realize the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Think about the promises of God, scriptures that refer to God's promises. And that's the source of our faith, that we can hold on to his promises. We know his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And of course, hope, you know, that I've mentioned that many times, it's a saving element in life. We've got to have hope. And that will, if we have hope, that's another area to look at if you're just really down on the molly grubs. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? That's where faith comes in, beloved. And then a few more suggestions. By an act of the will, we can change our attitude. We've already asked for the Lord's help. So, we are also creatures of habit. So if we're not careful, the enemy will come along, something happens, and we'll just revert to our normal response behavior. But we have asked the Lord, so let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and do what he would have us to do. The Lord will help those who help themselves, remember that old cliche. Psalm 131:2 says, my soul is even as a weaned child. That means a child that's satisfied, that's not fussing, that's not crying after its mother. And I don't even have the scripture, but the word says in, I believe it's Psalms, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." That is a prayer. And so God knows what you're going through. And we're to have the joy of the Lord. Because the scriptures say that we can, we must walk in and do what we can to claim it and ask for his grace and strength to do that. And then Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Beloved, that's a guarantee from Jesus. But, he says, "But be of good cheer. Be joyful. Be happy, for I have overcome the world." And I've been moved upon to say, let's look toward where we're headed. We're to comfort one another with these words that the return of the Lord is nigh. He is coming. And then just a few more things. Don't be lazy. Ecclesiastes 10 and 18 says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands the house droppeth through. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." That's Hebrews 6 and 12. And lastly, give of yourself to others if you want to avoid spiritual stagnation. There are tremendous opportunities, so many ways you can bless the Lord and bless others. And if you pray and ask him, I'm absolutely convinced he'll show you. Doesn't have to be some great ministry outreach. It can be something small, picking up a phone call and cheering someone up. Anyway, beloved, I've given you a lot to think about. and just know that I love you, and we're all in this together. We all battle the same things. But we've prayed and believed God, and so I believe we can go through this day. We can go through all of our days in the future with a sense of enthusiasm, a sense of joy, that God's got everything in his hands. And if you're in a particular place, well, God's ordered your steps, so he'll give you the grace to get through it, to go through it, and to learn lessons as you do. So we can't, you know, we just can't lose for winning. That's where it's at. I love you. I thank you for joining me, and know that I'm praying for you every day in my daily prayers, I remember you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.